It's always a magical journey to set a topic to talk about, because it's a path, it's a journey, and Judy always says, I gotta watch what I sign up for because I'm gonna have a really powerful experience around that subject, whatever that subject happens to be. And some days it's a contrasty journey, and some days it's a joyful journey. And this time it was simply a series of synchronicities for me that blew me away day after day after day after day, because I wasn't asking exactly what I wanted to share about this chapter. I was asking, what do I want to say? And that was a really, it may sound surprising, but that was kind of a new question for me, because I'm usually very committed to sharing what's in the chapter, because I feel like that's the intention of our group, that's the purpose that we're fulfilling here. But we've had several very powerful talks recently, and we have two more coming up on the subject of prayer and spiritual mind treatment, and that's what this chapter is about too. And I thought that I don't have something to say about that that feels like it's going to trump what was said in the last two talks that I've covered, and I'm going to talk about it again next month. And so this week was something different, something new, and today's reading and the Emerson quote about go where there is no path and leave a trail spoke to me powerfully, because the title of this chapter is The Choice is Yours. And I decided to take it personally, that Ernest Holmes was saying, you choose this week. You choose what's important for you to talk about this week. So thank you for the permission to leave the trail and go off where there is no path this week in terms of what's in the chapter. But the piece that I want to bring from the chapter is a little segment that was kind of an aside that Ernest said. He said, when the time shall come that we can speak of things normally, spiritual things normally and naturally, when we can get together and talk about our spiritual experiences and no longer feel that our such talk is weird or queer, then we shall remove one of the big stumbling blocks to our growth. Speaking about our spiritual experiences, I remember reading in one of the books, I think it was Anatomy of Healing Prayer, Ernest was talking about his I saw the light kind of enlightenment experience that he had at a church toward the end of his life, shortly before he made his transition. And he said, we have these spiritual experiences, but of course we don't talk about them. And I wanted to say, talk about it, talk about it. I want you to talk about it. And so I love that he gives us permission to talk about it in this chapter, that we can get together and talk about our spiritual experiences and no longer feel that such talk is weird. So my whole couple of weeks moving into this talk has been a series of synchronicities, day after day, moment after moment, that absolutely blew me away, because it was like everything, every piece was connected to every other piece. And I kept seeing where the connections were and following this path. And yesterday, I had one of those moments. I was sitting with a friend of mine who's been reading my book and editing my book that's going to be coming out toward the end of this year. And she said that this was her favorite passage in the book, and that made reading the whole rest of the book worthwhile. And I was really curious as about what she picked out of the book that was hers. And many of you have heard this story before, but let me read you what the piece of the story was in the book. And my book's called Chatting with the Beloved, so it's a conversation between me and the Divine Beloved, the omnipresent love that's inside us all. And so what I said in this part of the chapter was, a couple of months before my mom died, I was in Chicago on a business trip when she was in the hospital. She'd been seeing the dead folks in the corner for a while by then, and I asked her every day who was there with her. That day, when I called her from Chicago, she said, "You know, it's funny. When you come to see me in the hospital, you spend 4 to 6 hours with me and then go home. But since you haven't been here to see me this time, you've been in the corner with the dead folks 24 hours a day. You're the only live person who's ever showed up there. I think it's because you meditate so much." And I said, "So she was tapping into the infinite part of me, right?" And the beloved said, "Right. You weren't the only one there who was alive and thinking of her either. But she could believe you were there because your talks with her were sufficiently weird to help her believe it was really possible you could be there. You do have to believe it before you can see it, not the other way around." And I said, "Like my relationship with you, beloved." And they said, "Exactly. Your willingness to suspend disbelief temporarily allowed the flow to start. Now, with our regular interactions with you, you are developing knowing beyond belief." But it was so potent for me, having read the thing about Ernest saying, we've got to talk about our spiritual experiences so they're not weird. And then my friend picking that one passage out of a 250-page book that was so meaningful to her about, it was because we talked about the things that were weird that allowed my mother to believe something that was so far outside her normal range of belief. And so it's exciting that we have permission to talk about spiritual experiences and that we create community where we are safe talking about spiritual experiences. I remember hearing a woman who grew up in another culture talking about how it was normal in her society to talk with dead folks. And that when she moved into the States as a kid, she had to learn to suppress all those natural experiences of what we would in this society call the supernatural, because it wasn't natural here. And we create a space here where we allow it to be natural, where we allow our connections to be beyond the physical things that we can see, into the unseen that can be felt and perceived at a much more subtle level. So it's powerful that we have this excitement to come together, to be in spiritual community, to talk about things that are weird and wonderful and natural and beautiful and freeing. So my conversation with the beloved went on. We love your willingness to just show up and be with us. Creating these times that are just focused on loving and connecting gives us a powerful field for us to play with and play on. As with your community, you are allowing your relationship to be close, personal, and open-hearted. Your eagerness to spend time with us affirms the priority you are placing on our being connected. We love you. I said, "Yes, I see that, B. When I love a person, I make spending time with them a priority. I delight in their wanting to be with me, and I eagerly anticipate our being together. I feel that way now about you, beloved. I feel so comfortable with you, as if I can be myself and you will be here loving me anyway." They said, "Not anyway, because We love you because of who you uniquely are. We love tracking your life, celebrating your success, comforting you when you're sad, supporting and supplying your needs and your dreams, reassuring you when you are frightened, and encouraging you to wonder and wander. That is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about being with, because all of the synchronicities for me in the last couple of weeks were about what it means to be with someone else, something else, yourself, your body, your spirit, your life. How do we be with that? How do we create an intimate relationship at every level of being? Being with the divine, to being with the cells of our bodies. How do we do that? What does that mean? And I had clients calling me this week saying, how do you be with a four-year-old? How do you be with, you know, it's just so wonderful how the synchronicities pile up and it's like, duh, this is what I'm supposed to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to talk about being with, being a human being, not a human doing, which so many of us talked about in our introduction today when we were talking about our intentions for the day. So how do we be with? And the first of these being with things that came up for me made me laugh. Because I was on the track of manifesting a relationship in my life over the last, when did I start? In January, I guess. I joined with a couple of friends and joined Match.com and said, okay, I'm going to see if there's a relationship here for me. And one of my friends was talking about doing a program about manifesting a relationship. And so I said, okay, I'll do it with you. And I started doing this program. And as a result, I started getting on all these email lists that now send me infinite numbers of emails about how you manifest your soulmate. And so I got one of those last week. And it really cracked me up because it's the how to get a man sort of thing. And this was from Ariel Ford, who's talking about neuro-linguistic programming and utilizing neuro-linguistic programming exercises as dating tips. Becoming more attractive isn't just about how you look, it's about how you show up, especially when it comes to creating rapport. And so certain women possess a special X factor that's totally captivating to men. Think Marilyn Monroe and Sophia Loren and Angelina Jolie. They just have that indescribable something. Their body language is totally riveting to men and actually creates a powerful magnetic spark. And you can create the special it factor at will with the following man-friendly subliminal cues. So I'm laughing at this point because the man showed up. I mean, I didn't need to do the subliminal
using the cues.
Yeah, but I realized that I did a lot of these things intuitively. Yes, they were subliminal to me too. But anyway, it goes through the 10 tips of how to create intimacy with another person. And if you want to see them, they're here. I'm not going to go through them all. But I want to go on to my next experience. Science of Mind magazine for July was still sitting on my table, and I picked up and read an article I hadn't read in July. So it was another synchronicity because it came to me at the perfect time. And it's about a book and a CD called Safe in the Arms of Love, Deepening the Essential Bond with Your Baby. And it's about how to be with babies in the same way that this email was about being with a man from a position of being a woman, it's about being with a baby. And it talks about all of these amazing things that I never thought about how many of the young mothers today are in the text email generation, and they're breastfeeding their babies while they're receiving texts and emails, and they're sitting texting while they're feeding their babies, and they're missing this powerful opportunity for bonding that is really has the potential to impede bonding. And they talked about step away from the cell phone. And that's a powerful message for all of us in our relationships. Step away from the cell phone, step away from the TV, and connect with the person that you're with rather than sharing an experience out there or being bifurcated in your attention. But show up in the moment. Show up with the baby. And Raffel, one of the authors of this book, says, our lives have gotten very busy and are very entertaining. What can be incredibly entertaining is to fall in love with the presence of yourself with the baby. You're looking into his eyes. He's looking into your eyes. You're having an incredible conversation. Give yourself permission to fall in love with the moment and fall in love with the isolation that says, I don't care about the rest of the world right now. This is the most important thing I can be doing. And that's what we say when we be with someone or something, with spirit or with self or with our bodies or with our friends or with our mates or with our babies or our children. It's an opportunity to be present, to love. This article goes on to say the time is always right. What about parents who did not have this opportunity to bond when their children were infants? What about adoptive or surrogate parents? What about the child who is now 6 or 36? Bonding has a dramatic impact on the psychological and physiological development of a child. However, the intimacy at any time, to truly see the child as a miracle, to relate to the baby from a place of touch, to really look in their eyes, to really hear what they have to say, to honor their presence, is itself a form of bonding. Doing this with an adult can transform someone's wounds. To be seen and heard is the most important thing, whether you're a child, an adolescent, or an adult. The fact that you are actually met in that way makes an enormous change in the way people perceive themselves. The commitment that it takes at any age is the same commitment. The commitment is that you are seeing the child through your heart, an unconditional experience of I am meeting someone. Doing this in a way that is consistent and unafraid, you keep the resonance of your heart going. What you're doing is actually honoring and acknowledging and being with. The whole concept of being with is what bonding is based on. It's really being with, and you can do that in any situation. You can do it with a person who's in their 90s. When you're being with the other person, feel seen and heard, and something important is going to transpire for that person. And then they talk about healing with the divine bond, and that is seeing through the eyes of God. Seeing through the eyes of love is the experience of unconditional love, is the experience of bonding and being with. And the end of the chapter, the article, the very last line says, seeing with the eyes of God simply is recognizing unconditional love in an intimate way. In a way that includes eye contact and physical touch and attention and intention and presence. It's making connection palpable for that person, for that thing for that being, for yourself. Being present with yourself is such an extraordinary experience, because that's where our guidance comes in. When we're deeply listening to our own inner spirit, to our own inner divine, to the nature of God, we come around to that same process, to the same willingness to touch and be touched, as we allow that energy within us to just become peaceful, to settle, and to open to give and receive love, whatever level we are operating on at any moment. Well, the synchronicities continued, and I picked up this book by Mike Dooley, and I opened to a page, and there was another possibility of being with that opened up. He was talking about having had a time in his life when he wasn't feeling well. He had a perpetually upset stomach, was underweight, and didn't feel good. And he talked to a channel, he doesn't say who said that he approached his health questions with the presumption that something was wrong with him, or specifically that something was wrong with his body. Yet he was told that his body was perfect and behaving exactly as a healthy body should. He said, this really stumped me, and I had to think about it for a moment. Then a light went on in my head that made me laugh out loud. The message given was that a really perfect body will respond to its environment, its food intake, and sculptor him with signs of discomfort, illness, or fluctuating body weight as a signal that it's not being treated or viewed properly. It's perfectly flawed, if you will. This was a subtle message, but how true and important it was and is. What it means is that we all have healthy, perfect bodies all the time, and they sometimes get out of whack because of us, not because of them. By blaming our bodies, we only shirk the real issues, but we create brand new limiting beliefs that weren't even there to begin with. We all start out with perfect bodies and keep them our entire lives, and we don't suffer poor or irregular health because they become imperfect. They respond according to how we view them, ourselves, and our lives. This is what infinite possibilities is all about. Thoughts become things, and that includes things like our physical health. So that was a really profoundly different way of saying things I've heard before in other ways. The way Ernest Holmes said it is, there is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated, but only that to be revealed, which has always been whole. And so our bodies are healthy. Our bodies are whole now, and they are responding perfectly. And if they don't feel perfect, it's because of something we're thinking about them. It's a way we're being with them that isn't nurturing that healthy wholeness that already exists. So how can we be with our healthy bodies? How can we be acknowledging and unconditionally loving our health that is already present here? How do we love ourselves? How do we love our wholeness? How do we love the cells of our bodies? How do we love? How do we love? How do we love? How do I want to show up loving today? How can I love this day? Another piece of the synchronicities, and the last piece that I'll share, explains why I asked Bob to share that particular song about showing up and being in with both your feet. I want to show up and not hold back is the message of that song for me. And that was the message that Abraham Hicks shared last Saturday at their workshop. And so what they were saying is, as you raise your vibration, you come into complete vibrational concert with yourself. So you are flowing to whoever or whatever it is you're appreciating, the fullness of who you are. Anytime you are flowing something less than the fullness of who you are, it's just not enough for you. You can't become more and give less, have you noticed? Sometimes you say it in more practical terms, like when you have a friend or one of your children, a partner or a mate. You sometimes think, oh, I should hold back a bit. I shouldn't give everything I've got. I need to hold something in reserves. And we say, why? Do you know there are no reserves? You're just tuned right into the stream and flowing it now, or you're not. And if you are holding back, you're pinching off what's flowing. But holding back doesn't save it for later. So we say, go for it. Give every moment everything you've got to give. But what makes you think you might want to hold back with attention, with love, or even with money, what makes you feel you want to hold back is you have a misunderstanding. You think you have a finite pile of love or money somewhere, and you want to make it last as long as you do. And we want you to know it's everlasting. It's ever flowing. You don't have to hold it back, and the more you flow it, the more comes. We're talking about positive attitudes, about compliments, about positive aspects. We're talking about all things you consider to be assets or something wanted. There's a never-ending stream of them flowing to you, and the more you are flowing them, the more flow to you. We want you to figure out how to get things going, to get things flowing so you can have more manifestations that you want. But what we know about you that you may not know yet is that as you get those juices flowing, you come into alignment with the stream and you become a vibrational match to who you really are. As you become a chronic appreciator of self and others, I love that phrase, a chronic appreciator of self and others, what begins to happen is that even though things are manifesting, they don't become the main event. They step into the background where they belong as the goal or reason to focus in order to get the juices flowing. It's the energy juices that are flowing that equals the way you feel. So how do we have a juicy life? How do we have a life that's filled with connection and fulfillment and joy? Well, we leap in with both our feet. We don't hold back. We allow the love to flow. We allow that unconditional love that is the truth of who we are to be present in our interactions with others. We allow ourselves to be with our spirit, our body, our mate, our children, our families, our friends, the strangers in the street. To the degree that we can, we allow this level of intimacy and understanding that represents the being with, the connecting, the eye contact, the deep listening, the attention, and the intention to connect, to see with the eyes of God, and feel the unconditional love that is the truth of who we are. So simple. If we only pay attention. And so it is.
So it is.
The ability to focus our attention is a gift. Free will is the capacity to focus attention. And we can use our free will to focus on what's lovely. Or we can use our free will to focus where it doesn't feel so good. And it's good to practice on focusing on what's lovely. Practicing the beauty of life, the power of love, the oneness that we share with everything and everyone in all of time and all of space and right here and right now. Just being with this moment. As Abraham Hicks says, a happy life is composed of happy moments. But we spend so much time wanting to have a happy life, we forget to love this happy moment. So we be with this happy moment right now. We've just been bathed in the vibration of beautiful music. We are surrounded by beautiful, loving people. We are sitting in a comfortable room that's cool on a warm day. We've been supplied with water and coffee and tea and cookies. We have been gifted by being present here today. And we can be with this presence. Powerful ideas, wondrous synchronicities, beautiful harmony, the essence of spirit, right here and right now. Being with this moment, being with ourselves. Focusing with me, if you will, on a powerful moment of being with someone special, perhaps a child, an elderly parent, a dear friend, a lover, a baby. Being with that person and making eye contact with that person. And opening our hearts to that moment of connection when our eyes meet love coming back to us. When we feel that power of connection, remembering, connecting, remembering a gentle touch, a time when we touched with tenderness. When we were conscious as we reached out of sharing love. Where our hands, perhaps our arms holding a child, were an extension of our heart. Where we held another in comfort, in gentleness. Enjoy. Feeling like being with is the most important thing possible in this moment, connecting with how it really feels. To be with. How they made you feel in that moment to be with them. How you made you feel in that moment by choosing to be with them. Bringing all your attention, all your love, all your focus. Your intention to this precious moment of connection. So much love. feeling that love, feeling the unconditionality of that love that you gave to another at one time. And with your imagination, bring that love inside yourself and give that same quality of loving attention to yourself in this moment. Loving and appreciating your healthy body. Appreciating the health that has been there since you were born. That ever awaits revealing even more wholeness in this present moment. Unconditionally loving the cells, organs, and systems of your body right now. Unconditionally loving your heart and your capacity to love. Giving yourself credit in this moment for loving this being that you are. Loving your capacity to think and to focus. Loving your ability to share and be with and connect. Loving your creativity. Loving your smile. Loving your eyes and how they are the eyes of Source. Loving your being. Loving your spirit. And reaching within, loving that divine spirit that is the truth of who you are. Loving within. Loving the divine. Unconditionally loving that divine presence that is peace, that is freedom, that is love, right there within you. Loving that presence. Loving that beauty. Just being love. Local love, non-local love, physical presence, non-physical presence, the finite and the infinite, the temporal and the eternal, all one, seemingly many, all one, all the time, loving the presence, listening, loving, communing, being love. I am love. I am loved. You are love. You are loved. One love. One life. One peace, one smile, smiling at the music in the background, smiling at the presence of the people that you know are in this room even before you open your eyes, smiling at the beauty of the presence in each face. The grace in each heart, the power in each mind, the love that is right here, being with this present moment. As we come back into a more usual waking consciousness, honoring the being with that which is within us, the mind, the heart, the body, the being, the love, the God. the grace, the beloved, in all its myriad forms and ways, in all of time and all of space, right here and right now. We are that. We are. And so is everyone else and everything else. Nowhere we can look where love is not. Nothing we can touch where God is not. So just taking a deep breath and moving our shoulders and our back, our fingers and our toes, and wiggling our nose, we smile. And as we come back, we open our eyes and we smile and we see that it's all right here, right now.
It's all good.
It's all good. It's all God. It's all love.